You know, Christmas is a wonderful time, isn't it? It's the most wonderful time of the year. You know, if I had Pastor Rob with me, maybe we'd break out and duet, singing it's the most wonderful time of the year, but I think I'll refrain from that tonight. But, you know, as it's the most wonderful the time, and it should be a wonderful time. This is when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? But, you know, I don't want to turn this into a doom and gloom, but if researchers was to have their way, they would say that the month of December is the most stressful month of the year, because that's what they say. And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be, you know, the end of the year plans, whether it be work plans or plans at home, whether it's the pressures of going out and finding the right gift for that just so right person. As you're finding the gift, you're running into the holiday busyness. I went to stop into one store in the mall yesterday, and I was happy to leave because of the busyness. You know, this is a time of the year that when we try to have focus on the Lord, we're also looking at Christmas and we're looking at last-minute travel plans, or whether we have travel plans and we're getting ready to leave, or we have family coming in and traveling. We're also sort of in the back of our heads, we're rolling around. It's like, well, tax season is coming up here in a couple of months, and, you know, we need to get ready for taxes. So what can we do at the end of the year to help prepare for that? There's all sorts of stressors. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. We don't need to be stressed during this time or any other time of the year for that matter, because we can take comfort and rest in the peace of God. And just real quickly, if you want to turn to John 6, chapter 30, and most of what I'm talking about is in the New King James tonight. So in John chapter 6, verse 30, we read, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And that's Jesus saying he's overcome the world. Amen? So all of these stressors doesn't have to affect us. There's no need for us to give in to those stressors. And there's several different ways that we can enjoy God's peace. And you know, if I can refer you back a couple of weeks to the 1st of December, Pastor Hagin spoke a marvelous message on peace. And if you didn't hear that, I would encourage you to go and download that and take a listen to it. If you were here, go back and refresh your memory. But he talked about having peace. But you know, one of these different ways of enjoying peace is if we simply look to God and we learn to cast our cares on the Lord. The problem, however, seems to get larger a lot of times because we have a tendency to focus on the problem and we don't focus on the problem solver. Amen? So I titled my message tonight, No Takebacks. And the reason I say no takebacks is I remember when I was a kid, and you know how you trade things. You trade bubblegum cards or baseball cards, or you trade toys. You know, you get that little evil Knievel that you pull the little cord and it ripped and the tire spun and you set it down and it jumped all the ramps. And so you trade toys. And one thing that we used to say as kids is we used to say no takebacks. And that basically meant, I'm trading you this, but you can't take it back. Or they'll say no take backs, and that meant, okay, I'm giving this toy up, and I can't take it back. But there's a lot of times that we have a tendency to take things back from God. So in essence, what I'm going to be talking to tonight is about casting our cares on the Lord. And I know for most of you, this is a very simple message. But it's a very simple message that I want us to keep in remembrance because of the time of the season, the time of the year. Because of the stressors that the world says that we're supposed to go through. And we have a tendency to fall into that trap of being stressed. So I want to take you to not so much as an unusual scripture, but an unusual scripture for this topic. And if you want to go to John chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Now, some of you, your gears are turned like, John 2, I know what that's about. I know what that's about. But he's talking about casting our cares. So listen, let's go ahead and read the first 12 verses. So on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that concern? What does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were a set of 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. And this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days." So I realize this scripture has been used in several different messages or topics. You could talk about the first miracle of Jesus. You could talk about weddings, the new birth, turning something old into new. Talk about a discipline or obedience because the servants did what they told them to do. You could use it as talking about honoring mothers, and the list can go on and on. But tonight I think it's a good example of casting our cares onto the Lord. Because if we take a closer look at this scripture, we're going to see that Jesus and his mother and the whole list of people was at a wedding. And if you look at Eastern culture and if you look at it from a historical perspective, you're going to see that for them to be at the wedding and for Mary to have concerns over a simple matter of the wine, it had to have been some type of a family member of Mary that was getting wed or married. And the fact that she was concerned about the wine continued to show that it was a family member. Now, the wedding feast, they lasted about a week, and it would have been very humiliating for the family involved if they ran out of wine. But nonetheless, Mary had a concern, and she had a problem. So in this scripture, we see a distinct transition from Mary having a problem to casting her cares onto Jesus. Now, just the term woman, that was a term of respect that he used to her. And when he says that my hour is not yet come, it seems that he's basically gaffing Mary off. It's like, woman, my hour's not come, you go take care of this. But that's really not what happened. Because even though he said that his refusal, she still seemed to expect something out of him anyway. Now, how many times do we have a concern and we talk to God about it, and we think that we're being gaffed off? We think that because of the eyes in the world's looking at the situation, that nothing is ever going to happen. Now, I've been gaffed off before by the President of the United States, and I won't go into those details. Maybe another night or another day we'll be able to do that. But there was a situation that happened in the President Reagan during his second term. He basically gaffed me off. But that's okay. A moment or two later, he came back and he apologized, in front of the people and that he did that to. And it actually ends up being very comical. But But anyway, just understand that in every situation, I think we should do exactly what Mary did. So whenever we run into a difficult situation, or should I say a mountain comes in front of us and we start to speak to it, there's three things that we can do. And after reading this scripture, these are the three things that I see that Mary did. First of all, you need to recognize you can't do anything on your own. Okay? Now, Mary had a problem, and she had already recognized she had a problem or she had a concern. She had something going on in her life that at that moment, it was a major situation. So she already knew that. Now, quite frankly, if you don't know there's a problem, then there's not a problem, right? She knew there was a problem. She knew that something was going on. So she recognized that there was something that she couldn't have done about it. She brought the attention of the wine shortage to Jesus. Now, in John 15, verse 5, just real quickly, I want to go through a couple of scriptures here. Without Jesus, we cannot do anything. And even Jesus, when he walked the earth as a man, he needed our Father. And in John 5, verse 30, he says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. He's not doing anything on his own. He's relying upon God, our Father. The amplified version of that says, I am able to do nothing for myself, independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I am bidden to decide, as the voice comes to me. So I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just, righteous. Because I do not seek or consult my own will, I have no desire to do what is pleasing of myself, but my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. So if we use Jesus as an example in the scripture, you're not just out living life on your own. If you stay in tune and listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to what God wants you to do, he's going to help you in these situations. And I try to make practice to acknowledge God and the need I have of him in my life in everything that I do, whether I'm building something, whether I'm fixing my car. I always look at it, and I am not a carpenter. I'm not a construction worker. I'm not a mechanic, but I like working on my own stuff. You see, I live in a homeowners association, and according to the association bylaws, we cannot have a shed or an outbuilding in our yard unless it falls under one of two situations or conditions. That first of all, the building cannot be seen from the street. Or it has to appear to be attached to the house and in the same siding as the house. I have a bunch of carpenter tools that was in part of my garage, and it was taking up quite a bit of space in my garage, and I needed that space. I want to do something else with it. And I want to build a shed to put these tools in. And according to the bylaws, I can't do it. So I talked to God. I says, Father, I need the space. I like these tools. I got these tools. I need the space. I would like a shed, but they say I can't have the shed, blah, blah, blah. So one day, I'm just sitting there in the driveway in my rocking chair, and the thought comes to me to just build my own shed where it can't be seen from the street. And then I started getting a little bit understanding what I need to do, and to make a very long story short, I end up building a shed. I had an existing concrete pad out there that I used, and my wood fence is 7 foot tall. But over the course of the side of my yard and the front yard, there's about a foot and a half drop between the elevation to the street. So if you're at the street looking at the fence, you're really looking up at an angle. So I started having these plans come up in my heart and these plans in my head. And again, a long story very short, I ended up building a shed to put it in my backyard to put these tools in. And you can't see it from the street. And I had gone out there and, you know, I had put up some posts and looked at it, went out to the street to make sure you can't see anything. And it's a good size shed. But I had a problem. I had an issue. And I cast it on to the Lord. And he helped me out. So again, I just use that as an example. If I'm working on my car, trying to fix my car, I might not have a clue with what's going wrong with it. But I start looking at it and trying to figure it out, and the Lord will help me. Amen? So whether I'm looking for something in the house, I'm talking to people, I'm not going to say always. I strive to always seek the Lord. How does that sound? Does that sound a little bit more believable? But no, I do strive to seek the Lord. So after I recognize that there's nothing I can do about it, the second thing I decide to do is talk to God about it. And that's what Mary did. You talk to God about it. And of our scripture of John chapter 2, I'm just going to reference verse 3 real quick. Mary said, they have no wine. Her issue was there was no wine. She recognized that they didn't have enough wine. So now she went to talk to God about it. She talked to Jesus. In Psalm 55, verse 22, he says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. In 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We all know that God cares for us, and he's going to help take care of the things that we need taken care of. And if we look in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you're facing trials and tribulations, just remember Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and in supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God will surpass all understanding. It will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know, just a real quick story. I'm retired military. I have veteran status, and I get to use the VA, and there's a lot of free medical that comes with that. And over the course of my life, there has been some extra bone growing in my mouth. It's called mandibular tori. And it grows from the bones down by the roots of the teeth, right? So this bone was growing, and it was under my tongue. And the way the doctor explains is the bone sort of knows where the other side is, and it's never going to touch. So underneath my tongue, from one side of my mouth, the bone was growing. The other side, it was growing. And as they were getting close together, one just started growing up and the other one started growing down. And it filled the whole area under my tongue. And up to about 5 years ago, it started to become difficult to talk. My S's and my TH's was really weird. Okay. And I was a little concerned about it. And I went to my dentist. He talked about it. He says, well, you can have it removed. And then he referred me to an orthodontist I really like, and went for a visit. And then I got hit with the estimate. And I said, well, I'd really like to take this out. And my part that I would have to pay to this orthodontist was about $1,400. Now, could I have scraped up the $1,400? Yes, absolutely. I just didn't want to pay it. It's just, that's just me. And I says, Father, I says, you know what's going on here. You heard what the doctors are saying. And I really don't want to pay this $1,400. First of all, I believe in healing. I believe that you could remove this. But if we come to the point where we need surgery, and we were already at that point, I don't want to pay the $1,400. and I know you care about me. Well, a couple of months go by, probably 3 or 4 months go by, and I'm sitting out in the rocking chair again. Of course, you always mix sweet tea with it. It's always good. So I'm sitting out in a rocking chair drinking sweet tea, and all of a sudden, what come up from the inside was go get a consult for an ENT. And I'm like, an ENT, an ears, nose, throat doctor. I need to go get a consult for him. And I'm like, this is dental, Father. Don't you understand? So this argument started happening. I'm trying to tell God how he needs to fix the situation. Right? And I says, this is dental. This is all oral. This has nothing to do with ears, nose, and throat. He says, go get a consult for an ENT. And after we went back and forth for 2 or 3 times, he started getting quieter. So I said, okay. So I go to my primary care. I just explain to him what's going on and ask if I have an consult for an ENT. And he goes, well, why do you need that? It's all oral. And of course, we went through the same argument me and God had. So he gives me a consult. I go to the ENT. I explain things with him. He's like, this is all oral, blah, blah, blah. And I just explained to him, you know, what's going on with it. And all of a sudden, he goes, you know what? He says, I can see where it's a problem that because the bone is pushing up on your tongue and pushing it back in your throat, it's difficult to breathe. He goes, I'm going to forward your consult to dental. So he forwards a consult to dental. I go in there and I talk to dental. And they says, oh, absolutely, we'll be happy to cut this out. We'll remove it. We'll do surgery. But our schedule is backed up. We won't be able to get to you for a couple of months. And now with the VA system, they have a deal that if you cannot be seen within 30 days, they will refer you to an out system, an out of VA doctor. And they says, do you want us to pick one or do you have one you would like to see? Yes, this is the doctor. This is the address. This is his phone number. So they scheduled me with the same doctor that I wanted to see, and I didn't pay anything. Amen. So, but part of that means you have to do the third thing that Mary talked about, or that Mary did, that I can see in this. So I had to stop focusing on the problem. I had to focus on the problem solver. And I think that that's what Mary did in verse 5, because once she turned everything over to Jesus, she backed away. Didn't bother him anymore. In verse 5, Mary told the servants, do whatever he says, or do whatever Jesus told them to do, and then when they don't see her, or you don't see or hear of Mary until afterwards, when her and Jesus and all the disciples take off and go to Capernaum. And honestly, this is where I have the biggest problem. It's easy for me to recognize I can't do anything about it. It's easy for me to go to the Lord and talk to him about it. But with my background, working in law enforcement and a criminal investigator, I have to figure things out. I have to come up with the plan, and I have to try to tell God how to fix things. And with my last example, I never would have dreamed going to an ENT and then going around that way with the system and getting the surgery. So again, I try to help God out because I try to figure things out. And this is where my mind has been renewed over the last few years, is trying to just back off and letting God take care of everything. Because our Father uses ministering angels and other people to accommodate our requests and our needs. And it seems that once those pots were filled, the change wasn't instantaneous. It took time. Now, we don't know exactly how much time it took, but you figure if you have 20 or 30, or you have those pots that are 20 or 30 gallons each, we're talking 120 to 180 gallons of water. And I know they didn't have a garden hose that they're filling the pots with. They're probably going to the village or the town well with buckets and carrying them back and filling them. So it took some time. So between the conversation that Mary had with Jesus and between the time he said, dip some out and take it to the master of the feast, I don't know how much time that was, but I know that there was some time involved in that. Amen? And I think that if you look at Mary's unique situation, the insight that she had to Jesus' birth and the relationship that she had with him, watching him grow up, she knew that she could rely upon him. And I think it's about that relationship, that the more that we continue to pray and the more that we read the Word of God and the more that we fellowship and commune with God, that relationship is going to continue to build, and it's going to build stronger and stronger. So when we get to that third part about backing off and letting Jesus take care of it, it's going to be easier for us to do it. So whenever we speak to our mountain, that it be cast in the sea, we know it. We know it in our heart that it's going to happen. We don't have to sit back and wonder and twiddle our thumbs and think, oh my goodness, come on, God, how are you going to do this? How are you going to make it happen? Now, inside, I comically say this to myself from time to time, that I have an I don't care attitude. And I try to say I don't care. If a situation happens or if something comes up, it's like, oh, I don't care. I don't care about that. It doesn't mean I don't care. What it means is I'm just not concerning myself with the details of it. Now, there's probably going to be things that God wants you to do, and don't think that you're interfering with God. He told the servants to fill the water pots. He told me to go to the doctor and go through a couple of consults. But I didn't have to try to tell him to do that, even though I wanted to. So just understand that once you see that there is a situation or a problem or a concern, and you recognize it, that you can't do anything to yourself about it, hopefully the first thing that you do is just start talking to God. And you don't have to say, Father, the almighty, wonderful being that's in heaven above. He's your Father. Just say, Father God, I got a problem. There's this situation that's in front of me. You can go through all the details if you want to, but he already knows the details. Just say, we have this problem. Father God, I'm getting stressed out over Christmas because things aren't happening the way that I want them to happen. Just say, Father God, I love you, and I know you're going to take care of this. This is happening with my insurance policy. This is happening with this. This is happening with the medical bills. I got a bad report from the doctor. He already knows that. Just be real. Talk with him and tell him about it. But then back off and let him fix it. And again, he may ask you to do something. He may require you to do something. So it can be hard to be patient sometimes, but those are the best times to remember to thank God for taking care of the situation. Just praise God and thank him. Praising God will help you stop focusing on the problem and help you focus on the problem solver. Amen. God is wonderful, and he'll take care of you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Amen? But now listen, some of you may be here tonight, and you're like, praise the Lord. Yes, brother, preach it. That's exactly the way that we do it. That's the way we live. But you know what? You may be here tonight, and you're saying, you know, I used to live that way. I used to just pray to God about everything. But, you know, I've slipped and I've fallen. I've backslidden a little bit. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like, I have no clue what you're talking about. I hear the words you're saying, okay? I hear the words that you're saying, but it has no meaning to me. Maybe you're not born again. That's what we call being a Christian. That's called accepting Jesus into your heart, confessing your sins and accepting him in your heart as your Lord and Savior. So tonight, before you leave here, as our altar team gets ready to come forward, I want you to consider everything that I spoke about tonight. And if you're one of those people that has not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you have and you've backslidden and it's been a while, you know, you can also be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and that's going to give you more power here on earth. I just encourage you to come forward tonight. We have our ladies over here. We have our men over here. Just if you're a lady, please visit here. If you're a gentleman, please visit over here. And just share your heart. Open your heart up to God, and they'll pray with you. They'll help you accept Jesus if you need that. They'll help you get restored and come back forward if you've backslidden a little bit. If you want the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they'll pray with that with you as well. But you know what? You can say, I'm good. I'm born again. I don't know the last time I've sinned. I'm full of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And as a matter of fact, I've been praying in tongues for this whole service. But you know what? I got a job application I just submitted, and I need some prayer of agreement for that. Or I got this thing going on in my body. I need some prayer of agreement for healing. These folks will pray with you just the same. Amen. So as we dismiss here tonight, just go ahead and come forward, visit with these men and women, and they'll help you get out of here in a good light, in a good situation, with prayer and with Jesus Christ on your side. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So listen, before we leave tonight, as you leave tonight, if you would, just make sure that you don't hit the gas pedal all the way to the floor and start spinning around the building five or six times, because there's people walking around looking at the Christmas lights. So if you would, just turn your headlights on, be safe out there, and just take your time leaving out of the campus. And one thing I do encourage you to do, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, right here, Christmas Eve, please come on back and enjoy the Christmas Eve service. It is a wonderful family service, and it'll be right about an hour or so. And it is a wonderful service. I just encourage you to come in for that on Tuesday night. Amen? Amen. Pastor Rob, do we have anything else? Hallelujah. You men and women have a wonderful evening. We love you, and we'll see you back here on Tuesday night. Thank you.